Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 409 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How you going, fellas?
Just want to get this fucking shit over with.
Why would you want to do that, mate? I enjoy my chats with you twice weekly.
I wish I could say the same, Nathan.
That's hurtful.
Good. Well, you know what?
That's more hurtful than Ben Simmons fucking standing under the fucking hoop and not taking an easy dunk, the cunt.
Oh, here's the thing. Do you know what I like, though? I really enjoy things in my week, like chats with you guys, where within a very short period of time, lots of exciting shit happens. Like, you know, maybe after 30 minutes of chat time, if we were scoring chat points, we might have 64 chat points. After 30 minutes. I relish every opportunity with 60 or more of something within 30 minutes. Wonderful.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, and like I do feel like, yeah, it's almost stormish the amount of chat points I fucking put on in like the 5 minutes since we've been on the call together tonight.
It's conversational lightning is what it is.
Nathan, you did score some chat points earlier before we, after we hit record, but before we actually went to the episode.
I've been flogging Ben Simmons like Luke Brooks is behind the controls driving him.
You know what? I fucking got on 2K straight after that game went and hit request a trade. Because I'm at the stage where I can, like, have influence in my team. And I requested a trade until they fucked that cut off.
I'll be getting on Reddit and trying to find a way to fucking delete him off the fucking game.
He's fucking gone.
this is just basically the aftermath of a long session of just shit. Lamenting the Sixers going out today. But anyway, this is a great league podcast, fellas. So, I mean, how do we start it all?
Well, you were the one that wouldn't...
I know. It's my fault.
It's my fault. Philadelphia 76ers are better at rugby league than the West Tigers are.
I find that hard to argue with.
But I see. I mean, you know, Jay was always talking about the Groundhog Day each week and until it stopped. But fellas, I sit here before you today in a version of my own Groundhog Day. Where
you woke up and you're a smug cunt again. Yep, gotcha.
In one short week from yesterday, well, fuck it. The 10 days previous, my teams 3 games in a row have put 50 points on their opposition. I think it'll happen again on Sunday when New South Wales win game 2 of the State of Origin series as well.
And then we got the Doggies
the following game after that. So
the absolute cowardice of New South Wales. To not have the fucking stones to put 60 on Queensland like the Melbourne Storm did on the Tigers. Absolute cowards.
Give them time. I'm sure it'll be the focus of all their training this week. Give it time. Let's get straight into these recaps, shall we, fellas?
Let's recap.
Yes, now, let's.
I'll tell you, it feels like such a long time ago. I can't remember. I don't know how we used to do these on Wednesday night, to be honest.
I know, hey.
I mean, I'm looking at this game on Thursday night, and I'm like, wow, that was this round, really. Thursday night, Suncorp Stadium, Broncos lost to the South Sydney Rabbitohs, 46-0. No one bothered the scorers on the Broncos side, so we'll go to the Rabbits, and we had Latrell Mitchell, Dane Gagai, a double to Campbell Graham, Selle, a double to AJ, and Tane Mill also with tries. Latrell, 1 conversion, Reynolds, 5 conversions, and a penalty goal. How'd you see it going, fellas?
Jay mentioned the Broncos' lack of resilience last week, and I think this game was perhaps the greatest illustration of that exact point. They fucking folded so hard and so fast as soon as the Rabbitohs looked like they were any chance of clicking into gear, the Broncos completely fell over and presented, and the Rabbitohs, you know, duly obliged. I think, you know, the New South Wales stars for South continued their impressive form, and Cody Walker behind a dominant forward pack and quick play the balls and a fucking non-existent defensive line is quite impressive, I will say. I'd actually like to see Cody Walker just in a training run. He's got to do some fucking spectacular shit at training. It's not far removed from what he did in this game. But for the Broncos, I've said it before about Milford, and he has been poor, and he deserves a large part of the criticism that comes his way, given his contract size, etc. But playing Carmichael Hunt at six is fucking offensive.
He is clearly proven that he is not a fucking NRL player anymore. Yeah. Not even close. And as bad as Milford has been, he still hasn't approached these sort of Carmichael Hunt levels that we're seeing now. And so shooting yourself in the foot like the way that, that Kerry is doing, I understand, you know, there's been things happening through the week. He's trying to orchestrate clean outs and things like that. He's put some players on the market. He's shipped some players off already. I get that. But it's you still have a fan base and you still have members and you still have an obligation to try and win fucking matches. And playing Carmichael Hunt in the halves
but
in 2021
looking at that play, it's not even – it's not even close to a potential masterstroke.
No.
In terms of – it's not like Carmichael Hunt was a dominant half when he was in the competition.
Mm.
No.
He was a fullback.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
it's
I,
not like
I
they
know,
resurrected Darren Lockyer, who still
well,
like,
here's
you know,
the thing.
Miles left on the body kind of thing, and, you know.
Yeah, how many times have you seen it? You know, okay, so Darren, this one time, Darren Lockyer went from being a serviceable fullback to a fairly crafty half, you know? And ever since then, everyone's just gone, oh, yeah, okay, so fullbacks are sixes or sevens.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, they're just interchangeable.
Yeah.
And it's not fucking true.
It's not even fucking close to being true. And if Lockyer is the guy, regardless of what you feel about him as a player, but if that's the guy that you're using as the barometer, just saying, not a lot of Darren Lockyer is being produced. And Carmichael Hunt is not a fucking patch on him in either position.
Like the stones that it takes to think that Carmichael Hunt could potentially be as overrated as Darren Lockyer is.
Especially a good decade past his own prime.
That's crazy level. Yeah. And, you know, Hunt's doing all these things like, you know, he's rushing up trying to put the fucking hero hits on.
Mm.
Yeah.
But ends up letting in tries.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even as if he's the crafty veteran. He's not even Benji Marshall.
Yeah.
You know,
I think Benji Marshall is pretty much, you know, this year especially has almost become the gold fucking standard
veteran
in history of crafty veteran. Still plying his trade to a first grade level and like contributing, you know, value to the side that he plays for.
Yeah, I like to think that every time he laces those boots up, he's just going, fuck you, Robbie. Fuck you. Fuck you, Robbie.
Why
I'm better than you.
Yeah, oh, come on, you literally lived through this show in the two dressing rooms.
Yeah,
you
and I said all the time it was bullshit, and you saw the tears that Robbie shed, that Benji shed when Robbie's mother passed away, and it was sincere. You called them crocodile tears at the time, but
they
were
sincere.
Do you know
what it was?
That's right. It was like textbook crocodile tears.
It was because he would no longer get the opportunity to boot her in the mutt and say, how could you let that drop out?
I knew
there?
It was going to be bad. I knew it was coming, and I knew it was going to be bad, and you didn't let me down because you never fucking do.
And can I just say, like, you're talking about mutt. I feel like we've brought the word back, and not only have we brought it back in a big way. I mean, obviously we didn't invent it. I mean, I was talking about mutt when I was in fucking school, but. We brought it back, and then Colin Mulatalo, the Moot, we brought him back to the point where, you know, selected to represent his state. So we've made the Moot great again.
It has.
I don't know what that stands for, but yeah.
Oh my god.
MMGA, we need to get the fucking MMGA hats going.
On the socials, Dan said, anyone else notice Kev is getting a much smoother ride than poor old Siebes did from the old boys in the media? I'm putting it out there that the 2021 Broncos are more underwhelming than 2020. Thoughts?
Agreed.
It's probably not. We had to wait until the very last round last year for them to cement the spoon, like it required the Cowboys to have that second half to beat them.
Yep.
Last year the Dogs were sort of chasing them all season long and had multiple opportunities to put them into the spoon position over the last sort of half a dozen weeks of the competition. Now they're parity already during the Origin period. So, in terms of straight wins and competition points alone. Yeah, what they were 6 points. How many games did we get before COVID? Two or three.
Look, here's the thing: the Broncos last year were poor.
It was three, was it? So they had 6 points up before COVID, and then they didn't get any for a long time
until they played the Dogs.
Yeah, and so 8 points. So 8 points was the spoon position, and then four and against, right?
But still, as bad as they were, I feel that this year's worse just because of all the chopping and changing, and no idea who the half is.
Yeah, I think they're coaching in the side is worse, and I think
selections are worse.
And he gets a free ride from the old boys because he's one of the fucking old boys.
Yeah, well, they kind of selected him for the position, didn't they? So they can't turn on him this quickly, I think, because there's there's pride on the line for them as well, and the idea of looking like hypocrites through there.
And you got to remember, media. Kevy was in the prime seat to get the job before Siebes. So much so, and I'll bring this up again only because I fucking love it, but Kevin Walters went to his Broncos coaching interview before last season, fully prepared. Like, he was fucking the man. He had an overhead projector and that fucking, the texters that you'd write on the overhead projector with.
Did he have a green chalkboard?
One, red one. Oh.
Slate.
Gone in.
Chiseled in with a stone tablet.
And he's given him his spiel about what he's going to do and given them a marketing plan he'd done up as well. I forget what the fucking slogan was. It was shit. However.
I bet it had something to do with Kevolution.
Kevolting.
He had a dance to the Black Eyed Peas song called Let's Get Kev Tarded in Here. But they said no to
Did
him.
Did he release
for the
like
job.
Another version called Let's Get Kev Started as well?
So they've said no to him for the job. And after they've said no and hired Siebes, his marketing plan has shown up on the sides of buses all across the city of Brisbane. So they fucking stole that from him as well as not giving him the job.
I had totally forgotten about that until you just mentioned it.
Fantastic.
Did you just make it up, Nathan?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, attaboy.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how we go. We got an early. We rushed out to an early lead. We'll see if anything goes through the hands later on.
Spectacular. Jason said, first of many headaches for Reynolds at Suncorp. And Jay said, Pangai given permission to leave as early as next week, same as Lodge. We're going back-to-back spoons for sure. Someone get Walters off for an HIA. Yeah, there's a fucking clean-out going. And then Lambretta, at Lambretta GP 1971. How does Coates feel making that tackle? And I think he's referring to the one on Gaggs.
Yeah,
where
amazing.
Where he's hunted him down.
Yep.
And taking.
And also hitting him with the crocodile roll to get him out over the line and everything too. It was great.
How does Coates feel making that tackle? Yet watching his teammate shit the bed. How can a team with that much talent be so inept? Who thought Kay Hunt was an answer to anything? Send your answers to things Kevy can't work out. GPO box, fuck the Broncos.
I'll tell you, I know Craig Bellamy was watching that thinking, fucking great. I can work with that boy.
Mm-hmm.
You'll do.
And that's the thing, though. How much easier is it for effort to stand out in that environment?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, exactly. On to the next one.
Righto, the first Friday game, the early Friday game, the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks 26 defeat the Cowboys 24 up there at the abattoir. The Sharkies had tries to Connor Tracy, Aaron Woods, the Moot, and Will Chambers. Johnson, four conversions and a penalty goal. The Cowboys 24 came through tries to Dearden with his first try in Cowboys colours. Murderous Frank Molo and a double to Kyle Felt. Valentine Holmes, four conversions.
I think Will Kennedy just keeps adding dimensions to his game. His passing game is really starting to enter the same sort of level as his speed, acceleration and footwork. He really impresses me, and I don't know if the Sharks utilise him to his full potential, given that he's, in some games this season, he's been their only spark in attack. And his effort alone, you know, he's got some real leadership qualities, but I think he's been overshadowed a little bit by some of the more experienced teammates and bigger profiles in his team. And I can see him having a big future at the Sharks as he continues to develop. He's obviously got he's keen to improve his game, and you can see he just gets better and better incrementally every week. I'm really impressed with him. The Sharks would be concerned, you know, with their opponents over the past 2 weeks back into the contest. They've really looked in control 2 weeks in a row, and then allowed, you know, just through ill discipline and giving, you know, possession and field position up cheaply, and the Cowboys very nearly come away with it, you know, and stole it.
Yeah. I feel like the Sharks, I mean, while they're massively improved on their earlier efforts after the sacking of the coach, they're still, at this stage, they're kind of only the, you know, they're contending to be, like, you know, the kings of the bottom, you know, 10 side sort of thing. Like, they're, and like as competitive as it showed, you know, with this Cowboys game. I mean, super competitive game, despite blowing the Cowboys off the park, you know, early on in the piece.
Sure.
So, I'll tell you what, Kyle Felt, though, one of the greatest fucking shithousery tries ever.
Yeah.
Fucking love the fact that
Chambers.
And I'll tell you, and I never really watched the NRL TV programming, but they, after the Manly game, when I was watching the replay of it today, they went straight into Matty Johns, and they had Will Chambers sort of on the couch with him for the whole episode. And so they're showing that try, just rubbing it in his face, because he was the guy that was like right there that he sort of stuck it down beside. And just a great fucking embarrassing, one of the great fucking arsey tries. I just love it. You got anything you want to add to this one?
No, Joe? You guys cut it off really well. And that's the thing. The Sharks do, they look exactly like a side that doesn't have a long-term plan. As in, each week they can sort of be good enough at what they do to get over the teams they should get over. But they really don't look like they have any sort of certain long-term plan. Because this year's been the year of adaptation. There's new rules, there's new styles of play, the referees are looking at things a little bit differently, and the smart teams have adapted to it. You know, even so much, and I know that Manly's gotten Tommy back, and that's a massive in for them, but just look at how much more direct they're playing now as opposed to earlier in the year. And I don't think the Sharks have really put any work they don't look like they've put any work or thought into how they're going to get what they have and make it work in this new regime. But anyway.
The thing is, well, just for the Cowboys, though, I mean, you want to talk of like the two examples of the height of embarrassment. Example one, letting Aaron Woods score on you. Example two, the game was saved on an Aiden Tolman fucking try-saving tackle a meter off the line. Like,
yeah.
Come on, Cowboys.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking exactly. On the socials for that one, Adam in the Facebook group said, where is the common sense in the Robson bit where the point of contact is knee high to a duck? Common sense should rule. Falling into a tackle should be referred to as Tedescoing and a penalty the other way. Vilandy should give us the new rule we need. if Woods gets a try, you actually have one premiership point deducted.
There are gonna be changes. I think. Did I read something today about that? They're gonna be talking about, like, you know, the point of targeting and, you know, that sort of thing. Like if it's at their hips or whatever, and which was clearly the case. And like it was, who was it got tackled? Was it Tolman that was tackled? Wasn't it in the one that forced the binning?
Yeah.
And like he was like fucking like it seemed like he was about a foot and a half off the ground, like. You know, almost sort of vertical going down, you know, when he got hit.
Although, so, see, then you get back to what happens then, though? Because I think at height, like, do you remember that one in the Panthers versus Tigers game, Glenn? Where what's his name, came in over the top to try and make a tackle, stopping a try.
Yeah.
He's collected him and he's dropped the ball and was given a penalty try.
Mm. Yeah, with that was Leilua scoring and I think
the point of contact kick was out, fucking was it, was shit. It, was it,
yeah, of course.
You know, so what do you do with those? What do you do with those ones where the guy's, you know, diffused a grubber?
Well, there was that situation with the I can't remember who Manly were playing, but I remember it was when Lawton was his first game, and he got sent to the bin. Maybe it was against Parramatta on Nathan Brown. And it was like, and I was sort of saying then that, like, you know, did he have the opportunity to make a decision not to proceed with it after the change in level, sort of thing? And
this happens. Know, it's blink it's of a an lot eye to fucking think.
It's a lot to think about in the blink of an eye when you're, you know, you're a footballer and all you're thinking about is, you know, most of the time they're thinking of wrapping the ball up. You know, the target's around the ball.
This is the thing. I think the first thing they need to do is go in. Like the shoulder charge, because as controversial as that decision was, and whether you think it was right for the game or wrong for the game, at least they've come out with, was the shoulder the point of contact?
Yep.
Did they attempt to wrap an arm or have they braced an arm against their body? And that seems, like, there doesn't seem to be too many arguments about was that or was that not a shoulder charge?
Yeah, we've written that out definition, as a game, I feel.
That's it. And so now, how many times do you see that? When do you see a shoulder charge?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, speaking of when I saw a shoulder charge, I saw on a Facebook group the other week or the other day, that, you know, someone put that fucking Simon Dwyer hit on fucking letters.
And it was a valid question. How many weeks would he get for that now?
Like forever. Like, I mean, he'd get essentially by God or, you know, whatever, your karma, but whatever you want to think about, but. But fucking, when I remember watching that, like, you know, I remember watching that live. Yeah, I was probably on the phone to you at some point too, because I remember that was a fucking stressful game, like, for everybody.
I threw
neutral
up.
Off.
I was physically sick after that game. Yeah, yeah.
But like, I remember at the time, you're thinking, "Oh fuck yeah, what a hit!" But then you watch it today, and you're like, "Jesus fucking Christ, that shit is like."
And then you've watched
that's illegal.
You've watched Letters' career progress as well, and.
Yeah.
It takes a fucking lot to knock that cunt senseless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, the amount of impact for that guy to be staggering around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh, nasty.
All right, you got tweets for this one?
Darren.
More tweets? Yeah.
Said, Cows fans couldn't gauge on if they're a top eight side. Aaron Woods put a hit and spin on your A defender and scored a try. Aaron Woods, I'll say it again. Oh, Sharon Woods, sorry. There's your barometer. The biggest tiger said, I've dead set never seen a more backyard try in my life, not even in a backyard. When Cole retires, Cole felt, his highlights are going to be the most eclectic ever assembled. Yes, that's true. That is true. And we'll give a shout out here to our long-suffering listener at GT351_Johns. Who fucking cares? Those drug-fucked Pepe Gronk squeaked out another win. They play weak teams and teams missing players for their 1 and 2 point wins. Sooner these filthy Pep merchants drop back down to hell where my team resides, the better. love it.
I don't know where he lives, but the Bottle-O must go through some fucking ouzo.
Yeah. Righto, the late Friday game, Panthers 38 defeat the Roosters 12 out there at the glory hole. The Panthers tries to Crichton, Cleary, Yo, Staines, and a double to To'o. Cleary, 5 conversions and 2 penalty goals. The Roosters, 12, came through tries to Fletcher Baker and Adam Kieran, and Kieran with 2 conversions. Jake.
Back to our regular scheduled programming.
I knew you were going to say that.
And talking about the Broncos as we did, in that they have no resilience at all after 2 weeks of playing without Origin stars, more than any other team has ever suffered in the history of any sport, because they're that good. I saw the video, and some people have said that that there wasn't a chance that they could have won those games. I don't know if I believe that, but some people have said it. But coming into this one and having the Roosters get out to such a quick start, just bang, bang, very fast, there was that moment there where they could have been shook and they could have gone, oh fuck, maybe we're not what we thought we were. We've got all our players back where we should be in this. Maybe we're not. But that's, I think, one of the biggest positives about this Penrith team compared to seasons past, is that level-headed, there's 12. We just get in, we do what we do, we're just going to get back to our basics. And then the next minute you see Cleary's putting a kick through on the third tackle in the fucking wet to score points and bring them within six. For them to just completely play their own game, no matter what's in front of them,
including the conditions,
yeah, is spectacular to watch. And when they clicked, they were straight back in to where they left off a couple of weeks back. And again, I know it's not the Origin stars that get in to make the tackles. There's that old chestnut. Brian To'o's not missing 30 tackles in the middle when they're getting done by the Sharks.
Fair point.
But what their stars out do is give them so much more sting in attack that takes so much more out of their opposition that there's not enough coming, there's not as much coming back at them.
You can't tell me that in this game, to use this game as an example, they go down 12-0. And the guys that aren't the Origin stars and they've been there for the last couple of weeks when they've lost games look around and go, we're good. Whereas in the other games, they look around, Sharks have got the ascendancy, and they look around and there's a bit of, oh, fuck, who pulls us out of this? With the Roosters, they're like, we're good. It felt to me like, it sort of felt almost like the Ferrari was in the garage for a couple of weeks and hadn't been taken out for a Sunday drive. So we just had to blow the cobwebs out, and then they slowly just started going through the fucking gears, and the Roosters just could not go with them. They weren't capable, given their own challenges.
They were assisted into shifting that thing back into the gear that they couldn't fucking previously find. SST off the field, time-wise, that all worked out perfectly.
Yeah, they were. They would definitely help with the sin bin. That's definitely an advantage.
And I'm not saying it cost the Roosters the match, but I mean it certainly allowed the Panthers the opportunity to build a bit of the confidence and then start to figure out what they were doing again.
Mm. And Glenn, you're exactly right. And we mentioned it a couple of weeks back. Like, our sport is almost unique globally in terms of just based on the fact that the rest of the team needs to be behind the ball carrier. That really means that your halves dictate so much of the speed of the rest of your team.
Mm.
And that's what they were missing. And it's so fucking noticeable. It is so fucking noticeable. Cleary and Luai are out and moving so fast, and everybody else just does a really good job of moving off them. The cohesion's incredible.
Yeah.
Undefeated premiers. Craig said, put Reggie Staines at fullback and the Panthers win the competition. Simple as that.
I wouldn't trust him with fucking anything. Leave him out there, let him fall over and score some tries.
I think Dylan Edwards is a chink in the armour.
I'm not saying Dylan Edwards is unassailable in the position. But I think he's proven what this. Well, he hasn't proven, but this season has proven that he's probably still a better option than Stephen Crichton will ever be. There, yeah, and I'm not putting Staines there.
No, although I do think Dylan Edwards is the Isaiah Yeo, the 3 years ago Isaiah Yeo of fullbacks.
That's a big call.
I think he's accurate. He's very correctly rated at the moment, to be honest. Like, I don't see anyone outright shitting on him.
No.
But I don't see anyone pumping him up, like, you know, in the upper echelon of the fullbacks that we have in the competition either.
Yeah, that's it. And here's the thing. Again, you look at it, out of, what is it, 7 Origin reps, you know, you can't all be an Origin rep or an Origin quality player. Graham said the only thing that can stop Penrith winning the comp is Ivan shitting the bed again. There you go. Rishi said, fucking glorious. Totally worth sitting in the rain to watch the boys get their season back on track, especially at the expense of the Chooks. Obvious concerns early, but when our first try came easily, with our first foray into East Territory, it felt like we'd go on with it, and we did. At Big Cock Energy 20. For all the Roosters haters out there, remember, Roosters had a 2-year premiership window and won it in both years. Panthers so far have also had a 2-year premiership window, but are yet to win. Losing years hurt a lot more if you don't make the most of your chances. That's very true.
I dare say the Roosters window was bigger than 2 years.
I also think the Panthers window, and I mentioned this the other week, given the fact that they've all come through Harold Mattson and the juniors, their window could stay open longer than any fucking team's window in our, certainly in our generation, because these cunts are going to take, they're going to want to take pay cuts so they can keep playing together, I feel. Unless an ego gets involved, and I don't know.
Unless player agents get involved.
Well, that's a fantastic thing, though. We've also bred our own Origin stars instead of going and purchasing James Tedesco and Cooper Cronk as, you know, generational talents for, you know. It's like opening a window by fucking throwing a hand grenade at the wall. Yeah, it's a fucking hole in the wall, but it's not what normal people do. Get a fucking profile picture, you fucking egg. At AAMM180, angry middle-aged man, said, I swear it never gets tiring seeing the Roosters lose, especially when it's a fairly dominating style like the Panthers did. If they don't win the comp this year, there's something wrong. And finally, Toto said, this season really is only a 2-horse race. Panthers for the premiership and Broncos for the spoon.
Straight up to Monday Night Football on a Saturday afternoon. Newcastle Knights 10 to feed the Warriors 6 in Newcastle. The Newcastle Knights 10 came through tries to Lachlan Fitzgibbon and Brody Jones, supplemented by a penalty goal from Jake Clifford. The Warriors, a try to Ewan Aitken and conversion to Reece Walsh.
If PVL ball means plenty of points, I don't know what the fuck this was. It was a dour match in the pissing rain. You know, helped only through entertainment value by Brody Jones, who is a recent inductee into the I Find It Difficult to Wear Ties Club, of which I'm the president, with a match-winning try. You know, you'd say he'd stuck his neck out to get there, but that's not fucking possible. Estee Lauder at the back for the Warriors. Some moments displaying his impressive talent. Great run where he got run down by Brayley, I think it was. Showed, you know, the depth of the kid's talent. Also a couple of moments which we're probably going to get to the Origin preview in the next episode, but his...
I was just going to say, do you think a mediocre performance against the New Zealand Warriors accurately prepares him for the cauldron of State of Origin?
No. What it does do is there is a couple of moments in there I'm like, you're fucking around trying to keep the ball in and completely fucking flailing all over the joint with Latrell Mitchell and fucking James Tedesco and Toto and God knows who else running up your way. Good luck, son. Not to mention if there is an opportunity to be put in a position where you are looking to kick a match-winning field goal, happen when you're wearing a maroon jersey. Don't know that he covered himself in glory there either. So,
no. This guy, I got nothing to say about this fucking game. It was absolutely fucking. It was like the good old fashioned Monday night foot bitch games.
Yeah,
it was para versus Newcastle or para versus Cronulla back in those days.
Yeah, look, and Newcastle Knights, they need the fucking 2 points so, you know, badly.
And to be real, we've said it before, the Knights have been ravaged by injuries. They've got none of their first choice halves. They've probably got a better fullback than they'd normally have. But not having the hype merchant in there messes with their cohesion. They've got a number of their other outside backs out. Essentially, they're a fucking skeleton coming through. And the Warriors, who knows where their fucking heads are at.
Yeah.
They've done the COVID thing last year. This year, all of a sudden, Nathan Brown's their coach. The warriest warrior that ever warriored is going to fucking rugby union. Who is the heart and soul of that team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this game is two clubs that are fucking barely holding it together. And the result shows as much.
In poor weather.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Where are we? Daniel said, this is like watching two quadriplegics fighting in a wading pool full of custard. Yes, that's exactly what it is. Levius said, Mitch Barnett is the 0.1% of germs that Glenn 20 doesn't kill. Isaac said, Clem was disappointing. Thought the bench demotion would fire him up a bit, but I think he goes the other way and sooks. Which, if
we've seen
believe,
that in the past, too.
Yeah,
well, that was why he was dropped from the Origin team or not selected from the Origin
allegedly,
team.
Allegedly, yeah. That was the word.
Because of his little fucking passive-aggressive bitch fits.
Yep.
When people weren't happy with him. Jamie said, Nathan Brown couldn't win at McDonald Jones Stadium when his team played there every second week. What hope did he have this week? And at Big Gav 8 said, I'd like to coach the Knights. Just play Mitch Barnett for 80 minutes. It's not that hard to work out. On to the next one.
Dragons 22 defeated the Raiders 20 at Wynn Stadium. The Dragons' tries came through Billy Burns, Corey Norman, Jared Beal, and Tyrell Sloan. 2 of 4 conversions and a penalty goal for Smooth Corey. Defeating the Raiders 20, tries to Corey Harawira-Naira, Sebastian Chris, and Joseph Tarpane. 3 conversions and a penalty goal to Sam Williams. Glenn.
Raiders started well and it looked like it could be anything. The Dragons barely looked interested in this game to start, and the Raiders, I thought they might have been taking some steps towards exercising a few more demons and taking more steps to getting back to where we think they should be, and in the end, it was another bit of a fade, and Corey Norman, the match winner. If he keeps doing that.
It's my favourite sub-narrative for Dragons games. Is when Corey does the thing that gets them the win.
Yeah.
Because they fucking hate him and they dump him. I love it when he responds in a way against their interests.
You got to love the Tyrell Sloan. He'd have to be the anti-Debellin within the Dragons organisation. There's someone... He's, I don't know if you saw the footage with his grandmother presenting with his jersey before the game.
It's
a bit of wholesome content, but there's someone they should be cheering for and making fucking banners of, you know?
What was the banner? What was the fucking... I saw the blowing up of it, but I can't remember what the actual banner itself was.
I can't remember what it actually said. I saw the fallout.
Yeah.
So what was the fallout?
People just saying how I'm fucking believable.
Like, read the room. They're making supportive banners of DeBellin and, you know.
Yeah.
Holding them up on the hill.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Oh, I thought there was an official, like, take it down thing.
No.
Yeah, okay.
It's just, rugby league fandom just going off. I couldn't be fucking winding back to 15 seconds thing on that. I wasn't paying attention like that second. And then I looked on, probably because I was too busy looking on the socials to see what people were saying. And then I saw people blowing up and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't feel like fucking going back 15 seconds to find it again.
Interestingly enough, it was a fairly good game stats-wise concerning discipline. Fucking very low levels of 6-again calls, very low penalty count. Neither team really seemed to, taking enough chances to get any of those things down. So I'm with you, Nathan, that Dragons fans having a cheer on Corey Norman is the favourite thing in the world.
Yeah. It's not a full antidote for their support of their full-blooded and without exception support within the fan base for De Bellin.
Yeah.
But it's like it just provides a measure of... it puts the needle slightly back, not all the way back. Correct.
Yeah, look, it's... what do you say about it? Aaron said Jack Whiten headbutted fans in the street and he's still the most likable Jack out there tonight. Lando said, yes, fuck yes, my ass could not take another hammering. Daniel said, March Premiers versus Faders was never going to reach any great heights. And from Twitter, at Bill_FJ_Quinn, said St. George, or STI, as they continue to be referred to by the NRL, play to the conditions, Canberra didn't. Yeah, it's probably an apt description. And at Brett L. Moss said, equal parts stupid and disappointing from the Raiders. Who, just funnily enough, if you believe the reports, are in the front line for Gareth Widdop.
Jeez, I love a fucking Pom down there.
Especially after being burned a couple of times. Yeah. I mean, like, the Pom thing was great one whole year ago, but the last 12 months haven't been great for him in terms of Poms.
And especially one that already has runs on the board with homesickness.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, but what the fuck is that? Widdop goes, I'm homesick, I don't want to live in Australia anymore.
Yeah.
Moves back to the UK and all of a sudden goes, oh, yeah, no, I actually forgot how shit it was here.
It's cold and it's coronavirus everywhere. Back, can I come back?
What he really wanted to say was, I don't want to play for the Dragons anymore, which is an understandable sort of thing. But surely
in the release, St. George would have put some clause that they get right of first refusal.
Yeah, I think so. But maybe, it's...
The Dragons and right of first refusal, it's not something they're great at.
Oh,
do you know how fucking proud of you I am right now?
One of us.
See that, Ben Simmons? Learn how to dunk like that.
Exactly. If you're standing there under the fucking hoop, dunk it.
Yeah. Fucking Victorians. I should have fucking known better than to put my faith in a Victorian.
Fair point.
Fuck the lot of you.
Hindsight's 20/20, but that is a fair point.
Right.
Fuck
and
this.
Speaking of getting dunked on, the Melbourne Storm 66 defeated the West Tigers 16 up at the Sunshine Coast Stadium. The Storm tries 2.
Can you just read out who didn't score?
Craig Bellamy.
I know. Let me just give 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wow, 10 of 17 players. Scored tries, and it goes as follows. Brandon Smith, Nico Hines, Cam Munster, Finucane, Big Nelson, Remus Smith got a double, Felice Kaufusi got one, Jerome Hughes a double, Tom Eisenhuth, Harry Grant rounds out your scorers with Nico getting 9 from 12 conversions. Tigers 16 tries to Talau, Garner and Nofaluma, the king of the fuck. He's like the fucking Ibis, the king of the fucking junk time. And the Tribus.
Make a note.
two of three conversions to Brooksy. Glenn, my comment on this game is, and I said it to you before we started recording tonight, I'm so fucking glad that you didn't drive down from the mountain for that, because it would take you how long to get to Sunshine Coast? 3 hours?
3 hours, yep.
Yep. I'm so fucking glad you didn't put 6 hours of your life plus the 90 minutes of watching this absolute fucking annihilation.
Yes, and to be fair, the reason I didn't go was
because you're a coward.
I'm a coward. Yes. It was actually quite personal, but anyway, call me a coward if you must. But I too, Nathan, am glad I didn't go to watch this fucking abortion of an example of a professional fucking football team trotting out that absolute pile of steaming dog shit for 80 fucking minutes. It's embarrassing. It's beyond embarrassing. And I've watched Western Suburbs go week upon week upon week without scoring a point and travel to fucking Canberra and the foot of the fucking mountains and Newcastle in consecutive weeks and then back to Campbelltown, we might have scored 8 points in a month. And I was less embarrassed then than what I was for this game. Get the fuck out of here, you pack of fucking frauds. Cunts. A lot of them.
Take me through the environment. You were sitting at home, and your kids watching the game with you.
I had to watch.
Oh, that's right.
I was out to dinner with my wife.
Yep.
And my phone started blowing up, and I was like, "Let me just check this score. It doesn't look good." And as I reached for my phone, the waitress came over, and Nicholas said, "I think he needs another drink." And sure enough, I did, because it was fucking 30-0. And, like, I was fucking gobsmacked. I was actually impressed. I was like, how is that even physically possible for someone to score a try, kick a goal, run back, have the ball kicked to them, and do it again in that short a space of time? It's fucking outstanding. It's just, you know... We're on the edge. This is what the Tigers have done to themselves. We're on the verge of Maguire being sacked and Sheen's being brought back in as coach. And quite frankly, there's certain parts of the club that fucking deserve that and everything that would bring. As I said, the performance is embarrassing enough, but the fans on the fucking on the socials post-match were even more fucking embarrassing. There's no leadership in the club. Zero. Tamo was supposed to bring that at the very least. It was questions over what, you know, Jay said before a ball had even been kicked, question what he was going to bring as a front rower. But yep. My argument was he brings leadership. Well, he's brought fucking.
And that leadership was like literally at a bare minimum. That was what he was going to bring.
But yeah. See, here's the thing though. I agree with you, but where they fucked up, and this is where they always fuck up, is his leadership value. Is off the field.
Mm.
His leadership value is in the culture he brings to training, the attitude he brings to training. You know, he, from all the reports I had, when there was any dissent in the ranks against the coach, he was the first one to call it out and be like, well, let's be fucking men about this and talk about it instead of, you know, bitching and whispering.
Mm.
That's his value. He's at the fucking tail end of the career. In the toughest position you can play on a football field, and he was coming off the bench in his previous club.
I would fucking put it to you that any position on a football field whilst wearing a West Tigers jumper is a pretty fucking difficult position.
And I would put it to you, honestly, I think if there's something that I could do on the rugby league field at my current age and physical fitness, I think that I could be a standout at fucking standing around talking to cunts behind the posts.
Yeah.
After a try has been scored. I'd be excellent at that. I could probably play first grade for the West Tigers
You wouldn't have as much practice also, as the Tigers have had.
You'd probably also be really good at junk time tries.
Oh, I'll tell you.
Your level of professional NRL player skill.
Nate Faluma. Exactly.
I would score a fucking junk time try. I would fucking tap the logo on my chest and demand that I be selected for Origin and deserving of finals football. Like you wouldn't fucking believe.
There's no player there, you know, especially given Dewey was out, that was looking his teammates in the eye and demanding better. Like who's there saying, yep, this is acceptable, guys?
Yeah. This was the game where Dane Laurie got, he's usually the one if all else fails.
Yeah.
He's the guy that is a reliable sparky in attack and certainly nice. Sound defensively. He makes a fucking horrible horrible mistakes that bounced directly for tries and shit, you know.
Yeah, Dane. That's it. He is now truly a Tiger.
He really is, and I feel bad for it. There's no easy way to solve it either. That's the most heartbreaking thing.
The first thing I would do is I would simply stop recording milestones for teams.
That's got to be a start.
For the West Tigers.
How about the fact that the owner of our major sponsor is also the chairman of our club?
Yeah.
Oof.
And this one being the milestone, of course, being game number one for fucking Kenny Malmalo, and who's had about 600 points scored on him in two weeks by the Melbourne Storm.
2 weeks in a row. Two weeks in a row, Kenny's been in tears at the end of the game for different reasons. But I don't know what the fucking answers are. It's embarrassing. I'll still turn up and watch every week like I do. But
3 weeks ago, you had your illegitimate joy game, wasn't it? Or was it 2 weeks ago? And then you had the win before that. And then you're going for the three wins in a row against Parra, and it was all fucking talked up, and Parra just destroyed you.
To be fair, Nathan, that's what I do, and if we, you know.
And no, I wasn't singling you out. When I said you, I was talking about the fan base in general. Yeah. I saw Tigers fans on Twitter saying other teams weren't shit and all this. And I'm like, you won two fucking games in a row, mate. Like, honestly, the fuck are you doing?
Can I put it to you, what I feel is missing out of the Tigers players at the moment is any sort of fucking humility. It's not the only thing that's missing. And by that I mean, like you were talking about some of the historically poor Western Suburbs teams that you'd know. I remember those teams. And again, Penrith so had some fucking shockers over the years. You know, some fucking shocking teams. But what I always got out of those teams was that they went out there, they understood how poor they were. And they were out there despite that fact.
Mm.
They were out there, you know, ready to get their guts handed to them every single fucking week.
But what could they bring? What was the one thing they could bring with? They have the talent disparity, but they could bring effort.
That's it. And they would put in.
Mm.
And it wasn't even this fucking underdog thing where it was, oh, they tried really hard, it was inside them all along, and they came out victorious. They still got fucking pumped a lot of the time. And, you know, Western Suburbs and Penrith as well.
But as a fan, you can see effort.
That's it.
Yeah.
You can see
pride in the pride in representing the jersey and things like that.
Bruiser Clark and fucking Pat O'Doherty and, you know, like these guys are fucking nobodies. Nobody's
get on the
earning
fucking
a fucking
Google machine, kiddies. And seriously, like you look at those players and you're like, yep, he's probably fair at rugby league, but fuck me, looks like he just tried his guts out for 80 minutes.
Yeah, he looks like he's been
hit in
the head with
a baseball bat. That's what I don't see in that West Tigers team. Mm. And I love to fucking troll them.
I know.
Don't get me wrong. I love it. And nothing will fucking take it. You know? If they were wearing rugby league yarmulkes, I'd watch them walk out of the oven still giggling. That is how little will stop me from trolling.
Did you
the
have
West
to one
club.
Up me? Did you have to one up me because of my Dragons comment earlier? You're just like, oh, I've got up the stakes. This cunt's gunning for me.
But at a serious point, if I was a fan, I would be absolutely nauseous at the seeming lack of accountability and humility as to what that team's put in this year. And that seems to be a consistent culture. So I don't know
regardless
how you do
of coach,
it.
Sadly. Coach yes. Changing the coach isn't the answer.
That's it.
Because you can see as a portion of the fan base, it's now sack match.
I mean, West Tigers are the absolutely fucking undisputed heavyweight champions of sacking coaches.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's
hasn't won
many
titles.
No, our longest serving coach is the only one to deliver a title. So go figure.
Yeah, I mean, he's longest serving because they kept him for like fucking probably 8 years longer or however long than they needed to. But
longest serving Nathan.
And to his credit, I think he played that the only way he could, to go in there at halftime and then get him and his staff and walk out of the dressing room at halftime.
At what point, and you guys, even in a business sense, you've had people working for you and stuff like. You can rant and rave and yell and scream and fucking do. At some point, you're just like, this is not having an impact.
Yeah.
I've got to change
some people just
here.
Don't. Some people just don't fucking have it.
Yeah.
They can't be fucking helped.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to, and, you know, and look, okay, let's, in the interest of lighting a candle, in the second half, the second half did carry on initially as per the first half, but then they did actually. And you know, there's,
do you know what that was?
You can make the argument that the Melbourne Storm
embarrassment because that score was going to be 80, and those cunts looked at that scoreboard and they were like, "This is going to be papers headlines for a month if we get done by 80. We better fucking do something."
Tigers fans, I tried to fucking find positives for you.
Fuck you, but
the biggest positive of this game, with our top tier Patreon level. We have a VIP WhatsApp group where there's just like tons of fucking great banter every day. But during that game, one of the guys said, "Hey Nate, got a great idea. For every point that Storm score over 60, we'll do a shot at the grand final day fucking meetup." And so let me tell you, the fact they only got to 66, my liver thanks you, West Tigers, for finding whatever you did to save me from dying, because six shots is nothing.
Okay.
But I thought it was going to be 20.
I consider you a very smart man.
Yeah.
How are you making that bet in a game where things generally go up in increments of six?
Yeah, and also when I did it in like after 5 minutes, when it was probably 12-0 at that point already, and it looked really fucking doable that they'd get like to 100. Look, you know, yeah, people's self-destructive streaks fucking manifest in various ways, and perhaps that's mine.
Lack of accountability due to honouring your bets.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just too fucking staunch for, you know, when it comes to that shit. I love it.
Anyway, all right. In summary, it's pack of cunts, blow the lid off the fucking joint, execute them all.
The big winner out of this game was fucking our mate fucking Steve One-Eyed Tiger. Not because his team is shit and got absolutely fucking pumped, but because he is going to have an absolute fucking sizzler buffet of shit to turn into a meme that you've just said.
I don't know. I kind of feel that he's been getting away from his roots. He's been trying too hard to get things with this tiny little fucking positive edge to them.
I think he's just trying to cycle through and not do the same format of meme every time. And he's trying to take us on a journey through the entire, you know, vast world out there of meme, various meme formats.
Look, I'm not going to tell the man how to do his job, but if that Dragons comment doesn't get a run, I'll be fucking disappointed.
Well,
yeah, usually it's a Tigers-related one, though. That's the thing. It's a Tiger. He set the expectation. It's something about you talking about the Tigers.
That's disappointing. All right,
tweets.
Super Grover said, "No express episode on Sunday after Nate has to read out the try scorers." Terry.
I just want to put a pin in that comment for now, because I got enough satisfaction out of my own one for that one. I mean, when you have the Storm scoring 40 points in a half, you do have a reasonable expectation, as a fucking career troll like Grover is, that no team will ever fucking replicate that season, let alone within the same round.
Yeah. Correct. Terry said, "Look, things are bad right now for the Tigers. Maybe if they buy another outside back, it will fix it." Stephen said, "Went to the game with the family. Got to teach my daughter the six times tables there for a bit. Tigers bloke in front of us left." Daniel said, "Tigers game plan. Make them run so much they injure a hammy. Well played, guys." At Dean K88 on the tweet machine said, "Haven't seen a Tiger fall this quickly since Robbie's restaurant." From Instagram, Sean Divany said, "When do we discuss relegation? Fucking always and every time." And Sam Carriage 89 said, "I hope this sickens Glenn/Greg to his core. Hashtag Tigers suck balls 69. Arterial_deluxe said, "Watching this as a Panthers fan, validation of how shit the Tigers really are. They are the argument for relegation." So there you go. Instagram seems to be the home of the soccer fan, constantly wanting the Tigers relegated. How good.
I just want to give a shout out to old mate, and I forget who it was on the mailbag a couple of weeks ago now. Actually, mate, I guess a relatively new listener, but asked us in the mailbag on a Wednesday episode and said, why do you keep talking about Tigers in decline, like blah, 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 you know, like, and I don't know if it was like, you know, a statement of that, you know, it's not applicable and why are we still saying it, or asking us genuinely why are we still saying it when it appeared not to be applicable. This game.
This is why.
This is why Tigers in decline will never die.
I'd love to say this was an isolated incident.
And finally on Insta, Johnny Radford asks, did a Tigers club legend die this week?
No, this one was a wedding of the baby's head for old Kenny Mamalo, unfortunately. The Eels, 36, defeated the Bulldogs, 10 on Saturday afternoon. The Eels tries to Ryan Madison, Mitchell Moses, Sean Lane, Regan Campbell-Gillard, and a double to debutant Sean Russell. Moses, 6 of 6 conversions. The Bulldogs, 10 points came through tries to Big Puppy and what's his name? Oh, Tui Katoa, of course. Avarillo, 1 conversion. I listened to the first bit of this game in the car on the radio on the way down to the Gold Coast, and today I was faced with the dour task of
watching
this game. But I chose to watch the Manly game for the third time. So, Glenn, tell me what happened. I did see the Dogs were leading at halftime, exactly. Though. I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, it does put the Broncos in the – and it helps us with the Eels losing points as well. But it's the Dogs winning games.
Yeah. Of all the signs that Parramatta are frauds, allowing the Dogs to lead at halftime is possibly the biggest sign yet that it really is a race of 3-4 teams max, and the Eels not being one of them. Something to be said for how Parra did steady themselves in the end in the second half and went on with it, and the score blew out. But there's still, I feel like there's still more work to be done at Parra than what Brad Arthur would lead us to believe. And I don't think that they handle adversity against better sides well enough. They're a front runner, I'll give them that. But in the big games, when the fight is taken to them, I don't think Parra have it in them. Just my two cents.
Yeah, agree 100%. They're probably the top of that second tier. Oh, no, you might say Manly's the top of that. Yeah, they're probably near the top of that second tier in terms of teams that can go deep just based on current form. I've said it a bunch of times. I think they are across the board. They have a smaller gap between their minimum and their maximum than almost any other team in the competition. Their ceiling's not as high as the best in the league, but their basement is not as far from their ceiling as some of those other teams.
So they're a fucking dollhouse.
How does that make a dollhouse?
Just not a very big gap between their fucking ceiling and their basement.
Yeah. Their ceiling. Yeah, I got. Okay. I understand. I get you. I get the metaphor.
A referential retard. How good.
Fuck, my
how good. The Parramatta
dollhouse. My jokes works better when my audience isn't retarded.
I was gonna say, you know, well, yeah, obviously, you know, the Sun situation, but I mean, he's in the same boat. He's all boys as well, so I don't know. Me, I get the dollhouse thing. I got a daughter. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I got Castle Grayskull.
Yeah. I wish I still had my Castle Grayskull.
Yeah, I know. If I still had it, I wouldn't have it. I sold that shit.
You flipped the car for fucking
fortune. So what I'm really saying is, I wish I had $500.
Yeah, and Castle Grayskull would be the castle you're sitting in right now because it paid for the deposit. Oh, nasty. Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to add to that game?
No, not at all.
All right,
anything
then.
You want to say on that?
Hit some tweets in.
On the socials, Aaron said, Clint Gutherson is to rugby league as Vanilla Ice is to hip-hop. That is true. At JSJ Hogan said, we need more first half performances in the second half. No good putting the effort in early. Just let it all go to shit. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. Yeah, it's pretty true about the Doggies. At JBartley90 said, Parra treated the first half like a training run and the Dogs caught them napping a couple of times. Thankfully, they responded well in the second half and showed what they're capable of. Happy with the win today, but Parra will need to be better the next time out to beat Penrith. That will not happen. And at BigGav8 said, I'm a Parra supporter. While I enjoy the season, the fact that we will give the top four a shake, we do not have the class or discipline to be there in the third week of the finals, but could be worse. I could be Glenn on the podcast this week.
I've had a fucking ball. This has been fun.
It exercises the demons reasonably quickly.
Yes.
And you can move on to the next round or whatever, you know?
I will say I am excited to see what the episode title is. I feel like there's a bit of content there that you've jotted down in your fucking chicken scratch, illegible fucking handwriting that you have with your written with your fucking left hand.
Written on the phone, should've you dumb fuck.
Smacked out of you. Like they did in the olden days.
I don't live up in fucking Toowoomba. I don't fucking write.
Write it in fucking chalk, bitch.
Writing with implements is for fucking peasants. It's all digital. Was that it for those tweets, was it?
That's it.
Okay, main event. The mighty Manly Sea Eagles, 56, went down to fucking Hope Solo Coliseum down the Gold Coast and proceeded to absolutely fucking destroy the Titans 24. The Manly Seagulls 56, thankfully, is easier to read out than the Storm one because they had the fucking common decency to score them in fucking bunches across a couple of players. Tommy Turbo with a hat trick. Ruben Garrick with four. And fuck, they were trying to get him. They were trying to get the fifth one for him. You could see they were working to get him the fifth one. Saab with a double. Homoli Alakwatu with a try. And Daly, in his 250th game, got the final try of the day. Garrick, 6 of 11. But fuck me, it was an unhappy start with the boot when he was probably went fucking one of the first six. And then started banging him over at the end. Fucking this game was a fucking journey, it's fair to say. Went down the Gold Coast, had a cunt of a week. Took my little nephew down for his first game of fucking, he's from the, you know, regional. First game of footy. Yeah, he plays footy. He's, you know, but it's his first game of like NRL and everything. He's a Manly fan, basically because he's been, you know, told stories that Uncle Nathan goes for Manly. So as a result, you know, he's just become a Manly fan. And I'll tell you, we're watching the players warm up at the start of the game, and they were warming up in front, like right in front of our bay where we were. And I put that story. You guys obviously, and anyone who's friends with me on Facebook knows that story. I put that thing on Facebook with that little kid looking outside, going, "Yeah, Mom, it's a goat," and and she goes, "No, it's a fucking goat." And I sort of put it up. And I put that up there, just cut out the, you know, it's a fucking goat thing, you know, saying like what happens when people tell me that Tommy isn't the best player in the game, whatever. My sister showed that to him. He's like, he's a little kid, like he's like younger than my kids, and she showed him. She said, on the condition that you can't tell, you know, we're going to hear some things from Uncle Nathan, but we don't repeat the things that Uncle Nathan
says on my wife.
And yeah. And so we're sitting at the game, and the players are warming up in front of us, and they're doing one where they sort of, you know, where they kind of, you know, they'll sort of jog up to a point till they hit the sideline, then they'll sprint back the other way, sort of thing. And then it comes to Tommy's turn, and the whole bay goes crazy, you know, because it's Tommy. And I looked at him, I go, fucking, see how much everyone loves Tommy, eh? And he goes, yeah, he's a fucking goat. And I'm just like, instantly just fucking texted my sister like, this is fucking hilarious what he just said. Anyway. He had a great day though. We went down, you know, when the players were in the victory lap and stuff, and we got a selfie with Jason Saab, who's fucking great, and yeah, he got high fives and, you know, bits and pieces with, you know, some other players as well. So he had a great, he's a convert to, you know, it's those things when you're a little kid, and they happen to you, you know, and you get to interact with players and stuff at that age. It's the sort of stuff that, real, like, you know, like cements them as fans of the sport and you know, the clubs and stuff like that as well. And it's great because now Killer, because, you know, Jason Saab was, you know, so nice with us and everything. Like, now Killer's found a replacement after a couple of years now to replace his favourite player, you know, Matai, you know, who's been retired for, you know, a long enough period of time. So Saab's the man now. But the game itself, it was fucking an extraordinary fucking game because they weren't playing poorly in the first half at all. They were just up against a side that had all the restarts, all the penalties, and a 100% completion rate and 70% of possession, I think it was, at half time. And, you know, and it's just the fucking way it went. I mean, I know the mood of the people around me. No one was too perturbed, you know, or thought that the Titans were better or getting away with it or, you know, anything like that. I mean, there was a bit of, you know, there's a bit of angst directed in the direction of Grant Atkins. I mean, like, who was doing his best to fucking screw the game in a certain way. But second half, I mean, even if you feel like you are being fucking roughly treated by the fucking referee, if you get the ball after half time and just not give it back until you've put fucking like 40 points on the board, there's nothing they can do to stop you. And I mean, that's, you know, that's the way the game is today. And it's a matter of, you know, holding possession, continuing possession through six agains, and being good enough to score at the end of them, get the ball back, reload, start again. And like, this is the best example of what I've seen, like, fucking ever. It's fucking, it, like, Homoli is a fucking beast, and I think he's like the first back rower picked in the club for years to come, which is incredible for a guy that hasn't actually been playing rugby league for that long. I mean, you know, because he was a basketball player. You know, what can you say? I mean, there's nothing you can say about Tommy Turbo. I mean, like, the importance and how fucking dominant he is. Garrick, since he had that game last week without Tommy, and I mean, he just seems to have gone up another level, and it's almost like he's been coached in a certain way that, rather, you know, stop looking for, when you have a little bit of space in front of you, just fucking go for the corner, hell for leather, and just don't think about propping and, you know, sort of stepping in, you know, just go for it. And as a result, he's just scoring tries by the truckload now. Kieran Foran, best season since, what, 2013?
That's the point I wanted to make on Manly.
Just
his resurgence, like, is the side story of the year for me.
I mean he's getting into like buy of the year territory, because I mean the injury prone nature of that guy over the last 5 or 6 years has been so well fucking documented, to the point where it was like, you know, is he going to be medically retired at some point?
Mm.
And he comes back this year, and he hasn't changed his game to preserve himself at all. He's still digging into the line, getting fucking smashed after he gives the pass. But just the way, just the smarts that he brings to that left-hand side, and then with the weapons that they have there, and just the selectivity, whether they're going to go to Tom or use Tom as a decoy and go, and, you know, go behind him to some, you know, and then Tom brings the smart where he decides whether he's going to go short to Parker or use Parker as like a, because, you know, when you're 5 meters out, Parker usually gets across the line. So whether they use him as just this great decoy that brings in the defenders as well, because they know they need more than one guy to stop him, and go out the back to Garrick, who then scores like 4 easy fucking tries like he did. It's fucking great. And like, yeah. And it's considering the massive injury toll we're going for at the moment, it means that, you know, some guys have been brought in ahead of their time, and they've got genuine selection dilemmas now. I mean, like, obviously you want to bring Schuster back into the side, but you have to bring him in second row, because, I mean, you're not going to take care, you know, you're not going to get rid of Foran. I mean, the way he's playing is fucking amazing. And then but then Lawton's come in and done it, you know, bought as a hooker, and he's come in as a back row and he's doing a fucking great job in the middle, you know, which is, you know, presumably not his first choice of game. And I mean, like, if Fainu gets off with the charges, you know, next month, obviously at full fitness and, you know, game readiness, I mean, he's the choice for the hooker. But Croker has fucking evolved and changed his body shape and is doing a fucking job there now. So much so that, like, we've got a fit hooker in the, you know, on the books now, who's being forced to play back row. I thought with Jake out of the side, it would expose potentially something defensively in the middle. But, you know, then you got guys like Kepi and stuff that come in as fucking great. And then you got guys like Paseka I thought losing Fanua Blake this year would be a big fucking detriment to the team's chances of doing anything. But, like, Paseka has finally fucking realised that he is a huge unit. And, like, that, I wish he had a fucking scored off that break when he just absolutely trucked through. I think he stomped through Fifita too. I mean, he stomped Fifita so badly that he got relegated to the bench in the State of Origin side. And then we had another situation where Dylan Walker made a bust straight through Fifita as well. And that's the other thing. Dylan Walker coming on as like a fucking, like a lock or something, doing this sort of ball playing stuff around the middle. It's just a testament to fucking what Dez has done with, you know, some very unorthodox fucking selections and, you know, of players in positions. I mean, putting like a guy who's probably best positioned as centre in lock as a bench lock, and he's not playing wide at anything at all. He's just up the guts.
So you've taken a long time here to say that your team let the Gold Coast Titans score a shitload of points on them, and then we scored the greatest fucking miserable win.
I want people to do the research because I can't be fucked. But I want to know what's the biggest half of football in terms of scoreline, because
I'd say it was Melbourne versus the Tigers this week.
No, they scored 40 and 26. They didn't score 48 and a half. That's what I'm saying. Manly scored fucking 48 and a half. So that's the biggest. I want to know who can beat that. And I want NRL era too. I don't want to hear like fucking Farmers shit with Glebe conceding fucking 70 versus some cunt. Like, you know, like Farmers shit. Like, I was listening to someone on the radio on the weekend talking about some old timer. You know, some old timer, like, you know, around the time when the Dragons won like the, you know, 10 or 11 in a row or whatever. And, I was saying that this guy was a fucking great player, played two consecutive grand finals for fucking someone against the Dragons. Would have played the third, but he couldn't get the day off work. He was selected to play another grand final. So I don't want to hear anything like from fucking that farmer / yeah, fucking, you know, rapist or, you know, child molester era, you know, where the Dragons won all those premierships in a row. I just want to, I mean, just remind me of NRL era, because I mean, like, even I was even thinking back just like to Manly games, which obviously I'm more focused on. And like, I remember the great game in 94 where they beat the Dragons 61-0, but even that was like 31 in one half, 30 in the second half, you know. So, and with a disrespectful field goal, maybe the first ever disrespectful field goal on record going over at halftime in that game. But
nice. Anyway, on the socials. Daniel.
Happy 250 daily and happy 150 Dylan Walker. And just
did
imagine
you just wish Dylan Walker a happy fucking anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
What
and you know
the fuck
what?
Is wrong with you? Know, you? What I, you know, you've said some fucking outlandish, you know, bullshit and I've had to sit through. Yeah. I refuse to fucking sit through you cunt, wishing Dylan Walker a happy anything. Fuck you.
Yeah, okay. Righto, Mario. That, now,
that's the audio equivalent. That's the audio equivalent of a fucking DeBellin banner.
I just want to say, if he's playing
in
New
Zealand, you should go outside and fucking shake yourself.
Honestly. I think you can both suck me from the back. And I just want to say that it's really showing that now, instead of chucking tantrums when he's told to go and eat his dinner while he's playing Fortnite, now he's eating that dinner. He's put on a bit of size and doing great work in the middle. That's all I'm saying. But Daly, great man, fucking great captain. Wonderful player,
Daly,
even better bloke.
I tell you what, I got an all new respect for Daly Cherry Evans. Sitting back on this fucking podcast, getting paid $1 million a year for it to only be good when somebody else is on it. Fucking hell!
The fact that like literally fucking like 7 or 8 days ago, put 50 on the Cowboys while Tommy was being rested. Ignorant.
Yet again, you're fucking gloating about beating the North Queensland Cowboys.
Hey.
You know what? I played basketball against 3 6-year-olds this afternoon. Fucking won. Oh, NBA, here I come.
Cowboys fans, there you go. That's where your level is at the moment. I mean, you've won a premiership far more recently than Panthers, you know, by over a decade. But apparently you're 6-year-olds.
You are.
I do want to say though, you did win, Cane Farmers. Your game though, your basketball game though, you did. I want to say it was legitimate joy that you felt beating them, because I mean, you only won through superior skill, because it certainly wasn't through any fucking astronomical height differential. Now,
well, I'm sorry, but genetics.
Even if you were wearing fucking Jordans with 3-inch lifts in the cunts,
genetics are not my fucking fault. My fucking hand-eye coordination and my sweet, sweet fadeaway.
Can I ask why you need to utilise your fadeaway against 6-year-olds? Can I please ask that?
Because they're the same fucking height.
Because I can shout out that's the whiskey, and that sounds like a swear word to them. I tell you what, though. I didn't dunk on him, so maybe I am Ben Simmons.
No, well, no, but you're only Ben Simmons if you could dunk and chose not to and passed it to somebody else instead.
It was an 8-foot rim.
I also then went...
Or you're playing on like a kid-sized rim.
No, proper one.
Because that is gone, it'd be rude not to dunk. I mean, come
I've on. Then gone, fuck this basketball nonsense and come inside and played video games. So, yes, I am exactly Ben Simmons.
Fair call.
Yeah, I'll be...
On the socials. On the socials. Nathan said, Titans can't defend their line at all. They haven't turned Manly away once. That was a fucking shambles of goal line defence that was.
Can I just...
Probably didn't turn shambles. Them away once either.
As much as I respect your skill and ability in choosing what socials to read out, did you really think we needed to hear from another fucking Nathan about this game?
This was a Nathan that's probably not too fucking positive, though. He's probably shitting on the Titans and...
Who knows?
And not much else.
Daniel said, is Fifita the next Dane Carlaw / Dave Taylor, a physical freak that never lives up to potential? Fuck, that's an interesting take, hey? And more possible than Titans fans would want it to be.
Mm.
Yeah.
There is a few murmurings around his game now where the hype's starting to wear off and some of the reality's starting to kick in.
He's still scored like 10 tries this season, and he's had a, you know, on the balance of things, he's had a good season, right?
If you measure him against others in his position, he's had an astronomical season.
Yeah. I mean, he's been handled both times by Manly, but not every club's, you know, but then he's had games where he's looked like an absolute fucking god, so.
Yeah, that's it.
He's young though too. Maybe he just needs to find that consistent quality to his play as well, you know?
Ryan. So got bored waiting for Garrick to take a conversion, so I put a movie on. End credits.
I'll tell you what, it was noticeable, like how like he takes a fuck, especially when he wasn't getting them, and like around like the sort of the third or fourth goal he was going for, I think that's why he was fucking himself mentally, because he was taking so long with them. And like the down the drummer's end as well, like where the Titans, you know, like just the worst fucking place to try and take goal.
The crowd needs to start counting how many seconds it takes for him to take his kick, like fucking Brooklyn's crowd with Giannis.
Yeah, I wish they did do that. That would be fucking hilarious.
Hammers said, I passed out from all the jizz at halftime and missed the scores. Can only assume we went on to win 56-24 or some shit. Yeah, the boys.
Fucking coward bailed before I fucking got the chance to see him too. Oh, had some bullshit excuse.
I wouldn't even go that low.
Look, he was at the ground. He could have come and said, "Hey, good game." But he didn't. He slunk away.
What about Nortz?
Same.
Oof.
Slunk away, just with less drag on the right hand side.
Yeah. Sorry, Hammers. I understand.
So Nortz slunked away in a circle. Like a sprint car.
Right.
Fuck those guys.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck those guys who are great mates of ours.
Champions. I love it, but I love to pull the piss out of them. It's so good.
Exactly. That's Jesus exactly Christ. It.
I'm just looking, as I'm going through the socials, there's an ad for this thing called Reface.
What's that?
It's an app.
Right.
Where you can reface things.
for example.
So the one they've got here is they've cut a picture of Snoop Dogg's face.
Right.
And put it into Rambo. And so now Snoop Dogg is Rambo. And it's okay. Fucking hilarious. And I'm not advising anyone goes and does this, because this is how all of those fucking AI companies get the facial recognition shit.
This is like the people doing that thing with the old people face, the Russian mob. Yeah.
That's it. I just thought how fucking hilarious it would be to get photos of Nathan and impose it over Tommy T. And just see what looks more retarded, the real life version or that one.
I tell you, he'd be the goat no matter what.
the fucking guy. You,
he'd just be a bigger cunt if he had my head. He'd just be a bigger cunt. That's the only difference. Still an absolute god of rugby league and the greatest fucking player this year and ever, and on the richest vein of form in that we've ever seen in the game, surpassing 2012 Ben Barber and 2009 Jarryd Hayne easily. Because Jarryd Hayne was great that year, but he was doing it all himself. Everything that happened, he was doing it all himself. He's gone on these crazy runs, beating 150 guys, and you know. Whereas Tommy's very unselfish. Like, he'll score a couple of tries, but he'll also lay on another four, plus, you know, do a bunch of other stuff. So he's the unselfish fucking
guy. I wonder if he'll follow the same trajectory as those two examples he just gave.
Yeah, well, either beating or biting them. Yeah.
I don't know. I reckon that frittata's got that much of a fucking overbite, it'd be hard for him to fit a clip between the two chompers.
I reckon he doesn't have an overbite at all, and it's just a fucking gentleman and an ornament of the game. And very soon to be premiership winning Manly player, like we all want to see.
Tommy Turbo's the sort of cunt that's got to eat an apple with his molars. He's that fucking misaligned.
I have to have a look at picture, because it's never struck me that that's the first criticism I'd make. I mean, the face thing is probably far more. I think his teeth are fine. I think his teeth are fine.
I've just made them all, that's all.
Just pick some low-hanging fruit, but no, that you're fruit right. Was an apple.
He is in a Hayne-esque catcher form at the moment. Like that try he scored where he was going down and anyone else would have been short of the line, but all of a sudden he's put on that fucking leg
go-go gadget, yeah.
And carted nine cunts over on his back.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's some special
what
shit.
There was, at the ground, you know, you don't obviously get the most information about what's going on, but even after watching it on the telecast a couple of times, the fucking Grant Atkins, what the fuck was he thinking when Tommy scored that try where he, and then Sammy was offside or something, so he's gone up and he's gone, look, It's a try, but I think if he hasn't scored it, then Sammy's committed a professional foul, so I'm thinking sin bin.
Yeah.
So then you look at the replay, and there's nothing wrong with the try, but he goes, but the bunker's like, oh, I think it was Ashley Klein, which is that's your fucking first mistake. He's like, oh no, Tommy's lost it, and then so
into the hand or something.
Yeah, Tommy's lost the ball. However. We're giving Manly a penalty for the offside, but it's not a professional foul anymore, and so it's not going to be like...
Interested, though, because here's what I was thinking about. What constitutes a professional foul? Is professional foul play in the act of scoring?
Well, no, because you can do things like, professional fouls as well. Yeah. Like, you know, when you're holding the guy down after a long break, so all your team get back onside and stuff like that, it doesn't have to be like it.
But is it... Or again, is it any penalty in the act of scoring?
Well, I think it was before the act of scoring. You know what I mean? Like, it's before the act of scoring, yeah. Because at the end of the day, he's still, you know, carding him across the line. The funny thing was, I mean, we got the penalty and we scored two tackles later, but like, it's just fucking. The other thing was, we all love being at games because you can sort of see more of what's going on. Mm. But I fucking saw some shithousery in this game that I haven't seen happen before in a game. There was a point towards the end of the game where the Titans. Tried to score it. They attempted to score in the left corner, and the ball, I think, beat everybody over the touchline about a meter out from the corner post. And Tommy ended up on his back on the ground near the corner post, and there was a Titans guy on the ground as well. And this is directly in front of us. And this Titans guy starts, you know, trying to fuck with Tommy on the ground, just trying to like niggle or whatever. And so Morgan Harper sees it and runs back down and to fucking try and regulate the situation. Meanwhile, we've had to play the ball because I think they put the ball out. So we had to play the ball and the ball's gone out onto our left-hand side. So it's like 20, 30 meters down the field, right over the other side of the field. And so the players start to move back into position. And there's a bit of push and shove between Harper and the Titans player, which you can see on the telecast right in the top right corner on the replay. But then the camera goes and starts to follow the action that's right down the other, you know, other side of the field. And as the Titans player disengages and goes to run back into the line, Harper just sort of bends over and just gives him the flick and the ankle tap, and he just goes ass over tit. And then on the telecast, by the time the camera swings back up and you see what's going on, you can just see the Titans player running back to the line laughing, you know, looking back at Harper and laughing. So That's funny. I was surprised the touchy didn't do something about it because, I mean, really, when you are flicking the guy, hitting the defender, ankle tapping a defender and knocking him over. But, yeah, good times. But that's the reason why the episode's late too, because I didn't get home until like fucking 9:30 or something like that, and I was tired from,
jerking off.
All the orgasms and such.
Had to wait for your fucking keg of Gatorade to arrive this morning.
Yeah.
To reconstitute yourself.
Still feeling very, very, very dry after watching the. I was watching the replay and like they score so many tries and you're going like, fuck me, it must be getting towards the end of it now. And you look at the scoreboard and it's only like 30 something to 24 and you're going, holy shit, there's like another 5 tries to come yet, man. But it was glorious. And tell us in a non-farm league who scored more than 48 points and a half, please. Thank you. That's it for episode 409. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in a multitude of ways. Go to thisweekinleague.com/links, and there you will find links to our Facebook group, our Patreon, other social media communities, and all the feeds to access the show if you want to access it in a non Apple podcasty kind of way. If you'd like to support the show, make sure you drop us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. If I can tell a friend, invite them into the Facebook group, become a patron. And I want to give a shout out to some patrons before we go. John from over in the UK, who is a very long-term supporter of the show, and especially over there as well, where, you know, shipping can get fucked and everything too. So really appreciate the support, buddy. Trotters, your mate.
This fuckhead.
Your mate, Greg, and Kerrod. As well, who's been supporting the show for a number of years too, in the form of memberships and so on. The tipping, the round doesn't actually finish until Origin, which is weird because, you know, it's a whole other week away. But I forgot to put my fucking tips in. I thought, oh yeah, we've done well this week. You know, pretty much all the teams I thought would get up. You know, I mean, we had that dicey games. We thought that the Dragons Canberra game might be weird, and the Cowboys Sharks game would be weird, and they turned out to be that way. But otherwise it was fairly cut and dried. But Jim Ecker is out alone on top. How about the tip? Doohig, Sumback, Beagerod, Benny Tippy. That takes us through to number 6. And then a point back, we've got Lachlan H, Bandit 29er. Oh, fucking ESPN fan, 980-740-4611. Fucking set yourself a username, cunt. And in the 10th place, Chins get the wins. That is all I have to say about anything. How about you, fellas?
I've enjoyed this recording far more than I anticipated.
Did you watch the whole Tigers game when you got home?
It was fucked.
I'll give you credit. I'll give you respect for that.
Yeah. You're a professional.
I struggle to watch games if I'm there live and you lose. I struggle to watch them on telly again.
Guys, I appreciate you trying to give me credit. I watched because I wanted to just understand how the fuck that happened.
Do you feel like you actually achieved any level of understanding, though?
Nah, it just made me fucking more angry, to be quite honest. Made me more angry.
I figured it would.
My wife has a way. She has a way about not giving a single solitary fuck about rugby league.
Yeah.
But understanding certain triggers that she likes to pull when it comes to the Tigers. Why do you do it? Why do you keep doing it to yourself? What do you get out of it? What do you get? This happens like far more frequently than you'd care to admit. Just shit like that. Just anyway.
Yeah.
What's your response though?
Yeah.
Sorry?
What do you answer?
The answer is loyalty. You make a commitment, you stick it through. It's like, it's why we're still
for the same reason she's with you.
Oh, you fucker! You beat me to the punch.
See, that was Ben Simmons choosing to take the dunk that was served up, and you still fucking just let him have an uncontested possession under the rim. It's funny with wives that don't know nothing about football. I sent some photos through because, you know, it was with the nephew and everything. I sent some photos through to like to the missus and mum and stuff like that. And she replied, she's like, it looks like fun. I've no idea who that player is. I'm guessing he's the fucking GOAT, though. It was Jason Saab. I said, nah, the GOAT got a high five, but because he's injury prone, he gets rushed back to rehab before the rest of the players. And she goes, oh, okay, no idea then. I said, Jason Saab. And she goes, yeah, still no idea. I said, he's a fucking god, just worship him.
I suspect she's not.
No, she sent me a GIF, a Simpsons GIF of like Mr. Burns when they thought he was the alien, just fucking with the glow around him, like waving his arms. I don't know what she searched for to get that GIF, what it's supposed to mean, but whatever it is, it's not good. Anyway, that's it, fellas.
Cool.
Time to wrap up this show. Now, this week on Wednesday, we're going to have an extra large mailbag because the only game to preview on our traditional Wednesday preview episode is State of Origin Game 2.
And that will take exactly as long as Nathan saying who will win and the three of us all saying,
oh, no, New South Wales. I've got things to say. But I just want to tell you guys, even though it's going to be a shorter episode, I
can't.
Glenn's can't. Line at the start of the episode.
Why are you going to do this?
Because I can't. I just can't wait. I tell you, it's getting me through the next couple of days.
I don't even know what it is. You don't.
But yeah, no, I've got some. I've got another line going down too. So it's going to be an easy episode for us boys. We've got two lines already, one to go. And there's things to talk about the origin side. I mean, there's controversial selections. There's some bold moves made on the Queensland side. I mean, New South Wales didn't have to. They're 1-50, but you know. There are things to discuss regarding Origin, and I'm keen to hear both of your thoughts about said things.
Lovely.
And I'm keen to hear questions and stuff from the listeners as well. So if you haven't contributed to a mailbag before, maybe consider doing it for the first time this week.
Or don't.
Oh.
Because we're all about consent here. No matter who Nathan wishes a happy birthday to,
I asked them to consider putting in a comment. I'm not gonna take them outside and drag them down by their big beautiful tits in front of the witnesses and the neighbours. I'm not out here ordering pepperoni and Nutella pizzas and shit.
Oh, how good.
On that note, talk to you fellas on Wednesday.
See ya
later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.